Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Yir Aleph. We're at the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis. Beis Shammai Omrim. Says the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Omrim Ba'erev. During the recital of the evening Krishma, Kol Adam, every man should Yata Yita V'yikra. He should lie down while he recites the Krishma. Uba Boiker, and in the morning during Krishma Shal Shachris, Yamoid, he should stand up. Why is that? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Uba Shachvacha Uba Kumecha. When you lie down and when you stand up. So according to Beis Shammai, the term Uba Shachvacha, when you lie down, Uba Kumecha, and when you stand up, is referring to the position that one must assume during Kriyas Shema. Uba Silal Oimrim, no. The term Uba Shachvacha Uba Kumecha is simply referring to the time, the zman of Kriya Shema. Uba Shachvacha is referring to the time when people are going to sleep, are lying down. Uba Kumecha is referring to the point in time when people are getting up. Continues the Mishnah, Uba Silal Oimrim Kol Adam Kirei Kedarkoi. Everyone could read Krishma in any manner which they prefer. They could sit, they could stand, they could lie, they could be walking. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Uvalechta Chavaderech, when you go on your way, this implies that you can read it in any manner, in any position that you prefer. In Cain, if that's the case, that lying and standing is not required, in Cain, if so, Lama Nemar, Ubashachvacha Ukamecha, why then does the Torah stipulate when you lie down and when you wake up, when you get up? The answer is, it's referring to the Zman, to the time. Bishah Shebnei Adam Shoichvim, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is recited at the point in time when people are generally going to sleep. Uvishah Shemnei Adam Oimdim, this is referring to the Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis when people are getting up, but certainly you may recite Kriya Shema in any manner which you see fit. Continues the Mishnah, Omer of Tarfon, Aniyah Yisi Bo Baderech, I was traveling on the road, V'itesi, and I lay down, Likrois Kedvir Beis Shammai, I followed the opinion of Beis Shammai, and when it came time to recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, I lay down. V'sikanti ba'atzmi mipnei alistim. I put myself in danger on account of the bandits who could have attacked me when I was just lying down there, unaware of them. Omer lois, the chacham responded to him, kedayo yisalocha ba'atzmcha. It would be fit that you would be liable for incurring harm. Sha'avarta al divrei Beis Hillel, since you transgressed the words of Beis Hillel, you specifically lay down in order to fulfill the shita, the opinion of Beis Shammai, which we do not follow. Continues the Gemara. Bishloime Beis Hillel, it all works out according to Beis Hillel, that we find in the Mishnah that they elucidate their position, the reason for their shita, that one may read Krishna in any manner which he sees fit from the pasuk, Uvalechta Chavaderech, you should go on your way, when you go on your way, which implies any position, any manner which he sees fit, and as well they respond to the source of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai quotes a pasuk, Uvashachbucha Ukamecha, which implies literally when you lie down, when you wake up, when you get up, and Beis Hillel respond by saying, no, it's referring to the time. So it all works out according to Beis Hillel. Bishlam Beis Hillel come farshi tamayu, they explain the reasons for their opinion, the time of the Beis Shammai, and as well they respond to the proof of Beis Shammai, and they refute it. Ella, however, Beis Shammai, my timer la amrik Beis Hillel. Why do Beis Shammai not agree with the opinion of Beis Hillel? Since the pasuk clearly states, Uvalechta Chavaderech, when you go on your way, which implies that one may reach Krishna when he's walking. So why do Beis Shammai not agree with the shita, with the opinion of Beis Hillel? Amri lach Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai explains as follows. The pasuk cannot be referring to, the pasuk of Uvashachbucha Uvkamecha cannot be referring to the time, strictly explaining to us, describing to us the time of the chiv of the obligation. It must be specifically speaking about the position, the bodily position, which one must assume while he's reciting Krishma. Why is that so? Im kein, if the pasuk v'shachvah kamecha is simply referring to the time, as Beis Hillel are proposing, name akra, the pasuk should simply state, ba'boiker u'be'erev, you must read Krishma in the morning and at night. Mai v'shachvah kamecha, why does the Torah describe it as when you lie down and when you get up? And evidently, the Torah is teaching us, B'sha'as Shchiva, Shchiva Mamash. You must read Krishma at the time of lying down, but literally, actually, when you are in a position of lying down. U'v'sha'as Kima, Kima Mamash. The pasuk it says uvekumecha is referring to not only the time when one gets up, but actually when he's in the position of uvekumecha, when he's standing erect. Continues the Gemara. If so, we have a proof, we have a source for the shita of Beis Shammai from the wording b'shachvacha uvekumecha. But what remains to be understood is what does Beis Shammai do with the pasuk uvelechtecha v'aderech that Beis Hillel had learned from there, that one may read Krishma in any manner which he sees fit. Says the Gemara, Beis Shammai will use those words to teach us another lesson. What do they do with the pasuk uvelechta chavaderech? Says the Gemara, ahumi boile. That pasuk is required to teach us the following halacha. It is teaching us that one who is isek b'mitzvah, who is involved in performing a mitzvah, he is potter, he is exempt from doing any other mitzvah, including kriya shema. And that is inferred from the words uvelechta chavaderech. Continues the Braisa. Look at the Sanya as we have learned in the Braisa. When you will sit in your home, prat lo'isek b'mitzvah. This is coming to exclude one who is involved in a mitzvah. He is exempt from reciting Krishna. We will soon explain how do we see it in the words of b'shiv t'cha b'veisecha. Continues the brayso uvelech t'cha v'aderech. The pasuk continues b'shiv t'cha b'veisecha uvelech t'cha v'aderech. From the second part of the pasuk, we learn prat. It's coming to exempt, to exclude a chasam who has recently married and he has not yet been boil. He's not yet. Consummated his marriage in a physical manner, and in this case, he is still preoccupied with the bia, with the upcoming mitzvah, and therefore he is exempt from reciting Krishna. So continues the Gemara, Mikan Amru, from this pasuk we have derived, HaKoines es apsula pater, one who marries a psula virgin is pater from Krishna, since he is preoccupied with the bia of the psula, which is more involving and needs more expertise than one of a previously married woman. So one who marries a psula is potter on account of his being oisek b'mitzvah. Ve'esalmona chayva, one who marries a widow is indeed still required to recite Krishna. Continues the Gemara, fine, we have a braisa which teaches us the concept of one who is oisek b'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah, and this is derived from the words b'shiv t'cha b'veisecha, when you'll sit in your home, uvelech t'cha b'aderech, when you'll go on your way. But we still haven't figured out where in those words do we see this halacha. My mashma, where do we infer from those words the concept of ha'isek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah, continues the Gemara, omra papa ki derech. The pasuk says, uvelech t'cha v'aderech, when you go on your way. A derech, a way, is referring to ma derech reshus, is referring to an activity which is not an obligation, which is not a mitzvah. And therefore, afkol reshus, we infer from there that one is only obligated to recite Krishna when he's involved in a rishus, in an elective activity, not something which is obligatory. And otherwise, if he is involved in a mitzvah, he is pater. Continues the Gemara, how do you see from baderech that it's a davar rishus, that it's a non-mitzvah activity? Mila yaskina, perhaps the derech could be referring to the ka'asal dvar mitzvah. He's on his way to do a mitzvah. So we see from the pasuk, even when one is traveling to perform a mitzvah, even though he's oisek b'mitzvah, he is still chayv b'mitzvah, he's still obligated to recite Krishna. So how do you know the concept of oisek b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah? Continues the Gemara, Mila eskinan, are we not speaking about the ka'azal dvar mitzvah, even if he's traveling to do a mitzvah? Tafi lehochen, even so, the Torah tells you, Amar Rachmana likri, he must read Krishna. So the Gemara seems to have trouble with the yalfusa, with the limud, with the inference of this pasuk. Im kain, if so, if the pasuk is speaking about a dvar mitzvah, lichtev rachmana b'sheves u'beleches. The pasuk says b'shiv techa in your sitting, u'lech techa in your traveling, you're going. Why doesn't the Torah say b'sheves when you sit, u'beleches when you go? Why does the pasuk add the cha, which implies it's your private concern, it's your personal activity, you're going to do business, you're going to be involved in a non-mitzvah. My b'shiv techa u'lech techa. That implies that we're speaking about a personal affair, b'sheves didach, uvelechas didach. You're involved in your own personal activity, and only then, who the mechayves, are you obligated to recite Krishna. Ha de mitzvah patiris, but one who is involved in a mitzvah, since he is involved, he's oisek b'mitzvah, he's exempt from doing any other mitzvah, he's meant to be totally, completely immersed in the task at hand, and does not have the ability to distract his attention and to do any other mitzvahs at that point in time. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that one who's involved in a mitzvah, and not only actually involved, physically involved in a mitzvah, an act of doing a mitzvah, but also somebody who is awaiting an upcoming fulfillment of an obligation of a mitzvah, like a chassan, who's not actually at the present moment in time doing a mitzvah. He's simply awaiting the future fulfillment of a mitzvah. And as Rashi explains, that's why we need both pesukim. B'shivtecha teaches you when you're sitting in your home, when you're actively involved in your own personal activities, then you are obligated to do a mitzvah. But if not, if you're involved in a ma'isa mitzvah, then you are oisek mitzvah and patur mitzvah. The second half, uvelechtecha, teaches you that not only when one is physically actively involved in doing a ma'isa mitzvah and a mitzvah activity, but even someone who is awaiting, anticipating the fulfillment of a mitzvah like a chasan, which is a lower level of involvement, even he is exempt, even he is considered to be an oisek b'mitzvah. So that's what we learn from the two psukim. B'shivtecha is an active involvement of a mitzvah. Uvelechtecha, even if he's anticipating a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, if so, ihachi. If you're exempting even one who's merely anticipating an upcoming event, an upcoming mitzvah, so why do you stipulate that a chasan, who is pater, is merely, strictly speaking, about one who is marrying a psulei virgin. Ihachi, afilu kinyas es almana nami. One who married a widow. He's also awaiting the upcoming mitzvah, the consummation of his marriage, the be'ilah shel mitzvah. He too should be pater. Says the Gemara, there's a big difference. Hai tarid, the chassan who married a psulei virgin is entirely preoccupied. He must concentrate, he must really pay attention to the upcoming mitzvah, and therefore his mental state doesn't allow him to fully concentrate on Krishna and his potter. Hi, but one who marries a widow, Leitarit, since she's not a virgin, she's not a psula, it's not so involving, and doesn't require that much expertise, and therefore he is not so preoccupied, and he is chayav to recite Krishna. Continues the Gemara, the next step. Imisham Tirda, if you've established that the reason behind the exemption of a chassan is because of his preoccupation, if so, afilu tavas finasa beyam nami. If somebody had a misfortune and his ship sank in the ocean, and he is mali tsar, he's full of pain and is preoccupied by his misfortune. If preoccupation is a reason for exemption, in this case as well, it should exempt him from the obligation of reciting Krishna. V'chitema chiname, if you'll propose that really indeed is so, that one who is full of pain and preoccupied with a misfortune, he is indeed pater from a mitzvah. If so, Aloma Amar Abba Razav Damarav. Why did Rav Abba Razav teach us in the name of Rav that an avil and mourner, even though he's fully occupied with mourning, he's full of tsar and pain, still chay b'chol mitzvah samurus b'Torah. He is obligated. He has a chiyuv to do all the mitzvahs in the Torah, except for one chutz minat tefillin, except for wearing tefillin, and that is for a side reason. Shara nema ben peir. The term pe'er, glory, is associated with tefillin, and an avil, a mourner, since he is not in a state of happiness, he is consumed with his tsar. As Rashi says, he is mezgoil ba'ofer, it's as though he is on the ofer, down on the earth, he is consumed with depression, sadness, and therefore it's not appropriate for him to wear tefillin, which is associated with pe'er, with beauty and glory. There's another Rashi also which explains that if an avil would don tefillin, which is considered to be pe'er and glory, it would seem like he's ignoring and he's doing away with the mourning, which is his obligation. So in any case, he is chayiv, an avil is chayiv, despite his state of agony and tsar, he is obligated to perform all the mitzvahs in the Torah except for tefillin, shenemar pe'er chacha v'sholecha, because the term pe'er is associated with tefillin. So why is he chayiv b'chol mitzvahs if preoccupation with something else, preoccupation with a mitzvah, is considered to be a reason for exemption, as we see by a chassan, so why not by an avil? Continues the Gemara, there's a big difference. A chassan is preoccupied with the upcoming mitzvah. It is a mitzvah for him to concentrate, to pay attention, and not to divert his attention from the mitzvah, the upcoming mitzvah. He needs to ensure that he will do it properly, that he has the proper expertise. However, by an avil, true, human nature requires, or just ends up being that as a result of the tsar, as a result of the death of his relative, he will be in a state of mourning and tsar. But not necessarily is the mourning itself considered to be a mitzvah. As Rashi explains, the display of avelus, of refraining from washing, wearing shoes, etc., that is an expression of a display of honor, of kavod towards the mace. However, the tsar, the pain that the avel is experiencing, as natural as it it doesn't constitute a mitzvah. He's not required to be b'tzar. If he really wants, he can divert his attention from the tzar and focus on the mitzvah. Therefore, it is no reason to pater him, to absolve him from doing mitzvahs. Answers the Gemara, Hasam by a chasam turid tirda the mitzvah. He's preoccupied with the upcoming mitzvah. Hacha by an oval, however, by a mourner, turid tirda the rishus. The preoccupation is an elective matter. It's not a mitzvah, and therefore does not absolve him from doing another mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, and the girsa of the Marsha is that according to Beis Hillel, uvelech uveshiv techa, uvelech techa, exempt a person from the chiyuv, from the obligation to recite Krishna when he's involved in a mitzvah. And the word baderech teaches you that one may recite Krishna in any manner which he sees fit, sitting, standing, walking, etc. Continues the Gemara, if so, what does Beis Shammai do with the word baderech? Baderech is coming to include even if one is sent to perform a mitzvah, he's on the road, he's not actually performing the mitzvah at present. Since he is on the way to do a mitzvah, he is considered to be Eisur mitzvah and Pater min mitzvah. Says Beis Hillel, true, Baderech is required to teach us that mitzvah, that halacha, that even a shluch mitzvah is Pater min mitzvah, but nevertheless, we can still infer from there my halacha, that Baderech implies that one may recite Krishna in any manner which he sees fit. Why is that? Says Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, Amri Memela Shmamina. We learn Memela, we learn on its own, Yafilu Baderech Namikai Kari, that since the Pasuk tells you, Baderech, that Baderech is coming to exclude a Shliach Mitzvah, one who was sent to do a Mitzvah, we infer from there that if he is on the road for any other reason, for a non-Mitzvah, then he must recite Krishna. And how, in what manner does he recite Krishna? Baderech, in any way, in any position that he sees fit, whether sitting, standing, or even walking. So in conclusion, we have a Machlekes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. What is the position that a person needs to be in order to recite Krishna? We have a pasuk, b'shivtecha b'veisecha uvelechtecha v'aderech uveshachbecha v'kamecha. Let's start from the bottom. Uveshachbecha v'kamecha, according to Beis Hillel, that teaches us the time of reading Krishna. V'shachbecha, when people are going to sleep, uvekamecha, when people are arising. But it is not referring to the actual position which one has to be in when he recites Krishna. According to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, not only does it teach us the timing, but it actually teaches us the position that one has to find himself when he recites Krishna. Uveshachbecha is teaching you when you lie down, you need to be in a lying position. Uvekamecha, you need to be in a standing position. Back to the beginning of the pasuk, b'shivtecha b'veisecha uvelechtecha v'aderech. So from the words b'shivtecha, you're sitting, from the words uvelechtecha, from your going, we imply from there that only if he's involved in a non-mitzvah activity, but if he's involved in a mitzvah, he is pater min mitzvah, and he is exempt from the obligation of Krishna. From the word baderech, we learn two things. According to Beis Shammai, we learn even if one is baderech on the way he was sent to do a mitzvah, he's a shliach mitzvah. That is also considered to be oisik b'mitzvah, he's involved in doing a mitzvah, and he's potter from reading Krishna. According to Beis Hillel, true, we learn that from there, but we learn as well, baderech teaches you that even in any manner, any position where a person may find himself, he may read Krishna in that position. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Oimden V'Koyrin, a person may stand up and read Krishna, Yoishim V'Koyrin, he may sit down, Omaten V'Koyrin, he may lie down, Hoyachom Baderech V'Koyrin, he can be walking on the way, Oisim B'Mlachton V'Koyrin, he is involved in some sort of activity, and he may read Krishna in that manner. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later on, this is referring to the rest of Krishna, but not the first parasha, which requires exceptional concentration. Says the Gemara story, Maisa Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There was a story of these two Tanoim, Shoyim Subin B'makam Echad. They were reclining in one place. V'hoya Rishmol Muta. Rishmol was lying. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Zokuf. Rishmol was laying down. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was erect. Now, Kimen Shegia Zman Krishma. Once the Zman of Krishma arrived, Hitter Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar lie down. V'zokav Rabbi Shmuel. And Rishmol straightened himself out, because he was going in accordance, he was following the shita of Beis Hillel, that one must not lay down at the time of Krishma Shel Arvis. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was following the shita of Beis Shammai. Came nighttime, came time for Krishma Shel Arvis, so he lay down. Rishmal was following the Shita of Bisila, that one must not lie down, and therefore he actually straightened himself out. I don't understand. Yishmael, my brother. What you're doing can be compared to the following mashal. Mashal le'echad is compared to a mashal, to an analogy that they tell a person. They compliment him on his full-grown beard. So the fellow, instead of accepting the compliment good-naturedly, he says, Amar Lehem, he responds, Hey, keneged ha-mashchisim, let it go to the ones who destroy, let it be cut off by a scissor or a razor. He rejects the compliment. Same thing here, said Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Elazar Azariah. I don't understand. Afkach, ato kol zman sh'ani zokav atamuta. As long as I was erect, you were laying down. Achshav k'shani yitesi, when I lie down to sort of imply a compliment to your, I complimented your position, I wanted to emulate you, and came time to recite Krishna Shal Arvis, I lay down. Now, ato zakafto, you don't accept my compliment, and you straighten yourself up. How does that make sense? I'm complimenting your position, the fact that you're following the shita of Beis Shammai, you're lying down during Krishna Shal Arvis, I emulate you, and then you go ahead and turn around and straighten yourself out. Amar loy, Sir Lezer Nazario responded, An yosisi kidvir Beis Hillel. I was doing in accordance to the Shita's Beis Hillel, which don't require one to be laying during the Krishna Shal Arvis. V'ato sisa kidvir Beis Shammai. However, you're following the Shita Beis Shammai. And therefore, I wanted to show that your position is wrong. One need not lie down during Krishna Shal Arvis. V'loyoid, not only that, Elo Shama Yira Talmidim. In other words, why couldn't I just stay lying down and recite Krishna? We know that Beis Hillel agree that in theory, if one is finds himself to be laying down, he may recite Krishna Shal Arvis. So why did I specifically need to straighten myself out? There was a reason for it. Not to mislead the public. Shama Yira Talmidim, lest the students take notice and they will see me remain laying down, and they will infer from there v'ikvu halacha l'doris, they will establish the halacha for generations to come in accordance to Beis Shammai. Therefore, I refrained from doing so, and I took care and caution, I straightened myself out, lest there be room for error. In fact, the Gemara asked the Gemara, why did I need another reason? First reason was sufficient. I followed Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, v'chi teima, Beis Hillel nami islu matin. Why did he need to straighten himself out? Beis Hillel himself agreed that theoretically one could stay laying down. Hanemili, that's only the matava asam yikara. If one finds himself to be laying down, he may continue in that position and remain laying down while he recites Krishna. Aval hocha, but in this case, kivan da'ad hashta ha'visokav, you, Rabbi Shmuel, you were erect. V'hashta mutan, then you went ahead and you lay down. Amri, those who are seeing or watching us, observing us, will say, Shmamana, why did he have to change positions? It must be Beis Shammai Sviru. They hold like Beis Shammai that one is required, obligated to lay down, and therefore, Shamayira Talmidim Vikba Halacha Deris, these students will infer from there that the Halacha follows Beis Shammai, and they will establish the Halacha of Beis Shammai for future generations. Therefore, to refute that, to undo that mistake, I went ahead and I straightened myself out to sort of protest what you were doing, and to make a statement that the halacha follows according to Beis Hillel, that one is not required to lie down, and therefore I straighten myself out. Continues the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Cheskel, Asa Kedivi Beishamai Asa, if one followed the Shita of Beishamai, lay down at night, and straightened himself out in the morning, Asa, he fulfilled his obligation. Kedivi Beis Hillel, if one follows the Shita of Beis Hillel, and is not makpid, is not particular in his bodily position, also that too is fine. In any way you follow, any manner which you write beside Krishna, you fulfill the obligation. Rav Yosef Amar, no. Also, k'divei Shammai, loy osav l'klum, one who follows in accordance to Beis Shammai, he has not fulfilled his obligation. And the Chachamim invalidated the recital of Krishna, he must recite it again. Where do we find such a concept that the Rabbanon invalidated something that somebody did when he did not do it in the preferred manner? Now, just let's stop for a second. What would be the basis? What would be the rationale for invalidating one's recital of Krishna just because he recited Krishna in laying down like Beis Shammai? Well, when we know that even according to Beis Hillel, one may do so, even though one is not required to do so, but if one is lying down, he's yet to fulfill his obligation. So why were the Chachamim so stringent and invalidated? The Rishonim explain, The reason for this is that one shouldn't erroneously conclude that one is really required to do so, and if one is perhaps in a position when he can't, he's unable to lie down like Veshamai, he will neglect the recital of Krishna altogether. Therefore, in order to prevent such a situation, the Chachamim explicitly said they forbade somebody from following Shitas Veshamai, but rather a person must not be particular about his position and read it and recite Krishna in any manner which he is finds himself. Continues the Gemara again, where do we find such an example? The Chachamim invalidated a fulfillment of a mitzvah on account of a decree, the Snan, as we learned in the Mishnah. His head and most of his body was inside the sukkah. He chose to put his table right inside the house, outside the sukkah. Does he fulfill his mitzvah in that manner since his head and most of his guf is in the sukkah? Bishami invalidates, they say it's puzzle since we are concerned that perhaps he will lean over towards his table and he will find himself out of the sukkah during his mealtime. Basil says it's fine, he fulfills his obligation of mitzvah of sukkah even in this manner. Omer lam beis Hillel beis Shammai will prove our shita with a story. Maase shaholchu zikni beis Shammai v'zikni beis Hillel. The elders of beis Shammai beis Hillel came levaker Rabbi Yochanan Necheronis. They came to visit him. Matzu, they found him. They discovered him sitting in this manner. Shaya roishiv ruba beisukkah. His body and most of his head and most of his body was in the sukkah. However, v'shulchan beisechabayis, his table was in the house. V'layomer lo klum, and did not make any comment. Apparently, they approved of this mode of behavior. Amr Lahem, Mr. Veshamai responded, no, that wasn't the story, Mishamrai, how can you bring a proof from there? Afim Amr Lahem, in fact, they did comment to him, they did tell him, Mkeinu Yisanoig, if this is the manner which you've conducted yourself, Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah B'yam Yamecha, you've never fulfilled the Mitzvah of Sukkah since the Chacham decreed that one who conducts himself in this manner, they negated the fulfillment, it is as though he has never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. So you see from here, this concept that Chachamim invalidated a mitzvah. Similarly, in our Gemara, when one is particular about his position, comes nighttime, and he finds himself in a sitting position, he goes ahead and he's makbid, he's particular, and he goes and he lies down to fulfill Beis Shammai Shita, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Chachamim and invalidated his recital of Krishna. Continues the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, also, could be Bishamai, if one follows in accordance to Bishamai, Chayav Misa. Well, this is very stringent. He is liable to death. It's not as we see in our Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Tarfon, Ani Yisi Baba Derech, I was going on the road, Vitesi Likres, could be Bishamai, and I lay down like the sheet of Bishamai, Visi Kanti Ba'ad Sivina Listim. I put myself in danger on account of the bandits who may attack me. Omer Loyim, what did they respond to him? Gadai Yisi Loch Ba'ad Sivcha was fit for you to incur the danger. Since I transgressed the words of Beis Hillel, we see from here that not following Shita's Beis Hillel in fact carries it a liability of a punishment of death. So in conclusion, we have a machlekes, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, one must be particular about his position during Krishna Shal Arvis, he must lie down, Krishna Shal Shacharis, he must stand up. According to Beis Hillel, any person could recite Krishna in any manner which he sees fit. There's a machlekes in the Gemara whether one who is particular about the Shitas Beis Shammai, has he fulfilled his mitzvah? According to Rabbi Cheskel, yes, he has fulfilled his mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yosef, lo osav lo klum, the Chachamim invalidated the mitzvah. In fact, the Gemara concludes, he is even liable to death. And just one comment, the Gemara did differentiate between one who finds himself in a position of, he's already laying down. In that case, even according to Beis Hillel, he may continue in that position and read Krishna. The restriction is only, the decree is only in a case where he finds himself in an erect position and he specifically goes ahead and lies down in order to fulfill Beis Shammai. That is something that the Chachamim ruled against. Continues the Gemara, Bashachar Mervoyach Shtayim Lefaneh. This is regarding the brachis that we recite prior and post Krishna Shal Shacharis. So on Krishna Shal Shacharis, there are three brachas, two prior, which is Yaitzur Oyer Bari Choshech, the second bracha is Avasoil Mohavarab, like we see in the Gemara, and there's one bracha following Krishna, which is Emes V'yatziv, Ube'erev regarding Krishna Shal Arvis, Mevorech Shtayim Lefaneh, Ushtayim Lachareh, two brachas precede, and two brachas follow. Rashi brings down that Yerushalmi quotes a pasuk, Sheva Ba'yayim Milaltich, I praise you, with seven different aspects, seven different elements, and this is a remez, a hint to the seven brachas, which are associated with Krishna. 3 in the morning and 4 at night for a total of 7. Continues the Gemara, Achas Aruka Vachasora. This is referring to the two brachas which follow Krishna Shel Arvis. One is a lengthy bracha, one is a brief bracha. Rashi explains, Emes Vamuna is lengthy, Hashkevenu is brief. Continues the Mishnah, Makam She'omer LaHarach and Irash LaKatzer, where the Chacham said that one should recite a lengthy bracha, one may not shorten it and recite merely a brief bracha. The same thing in the reverse, LaKatzer, and the Chacham said that one should recite a brief bracha, and Irash LaHarach, he may not make it lengthy. Lachtoim, when the Chacham said that one should conclude the bracha with the words Baruch Ata Hashem, and Irash Shaloi Lachtoim, he may not omit the chasima, the conclusion. Similarly, Shaloi Lachtoim, when the Chacham said that one should not conclude the Baruch Ata Hashem, and Irash Lachtoim, he may not add this conclusion. Continues the Gemara. Mai Mevarach, what are the brachas that one recites surrounding Krishma Shel Shachris? Omar V'yakim Rabbi Ishiya, the first bracha is Yoytzer Oyer, one who forms light, over Yechoshech, and it creates darkness. Continues the Gemara. Why do we choose the Lashon, the term Choshech, which is something unpleasant, something frightening, and why is this fitting to be used in a bracha which is coming to praise Hashem? Lema Yoytzer Oyer Uberi Noiga. We should say instead, Hashem who forms light and creates Noiga, which is a light emanating through the darkness, which also implies darkness, but it is a different term which is more preferable than just plain darkness. Says the Gemara, K'tichsev Kamrinan, we're simply quoting a pasuk. The pasuk that says, Yoytzer Oyer Uberi Choshech, Oyse Shalom, Hashem who makes peace, Uberi Ra, and creates evil. If that's the case, that you're simply following the words of the pasuk, if so, what about the ending of the pasuk? Alamiata Oyse Shalom, Uberi Ra, Mikamrinan. The bracha says, Yoytzer Oyer Uberi Choshech, and the conclusion is, Oyse Shalom, Uberi Esakarla, Hashem created everything. It's a euphemism for evil, but not explicitly stating the word Ra. But if you're following the literal words of the pasuk, why don't you follow the actual words, which is Oyse Shalom Abayi Ra? Says the Gemara, Mika Amrini Kedechsiv. Do we then follow the actual wording, the exact wording of the pasuk, regarding the ending of this bracha, regarding the latter part? Says the Gemara, El Oksiv Ra V'Kurin Hakoyel. Despite the fact that the pasuk uses the word evil, we don't say evil, and we say Hakoyel Lishnamali, which is a preferred mode of speech. Hachanami. If so, in the beginning, in the opening words of the pasuk, Leva Noiga Lishnamalia, we should prefer using the word Noiga rather than the word Choshech. Answers the Gemara, Ella, the reason is, Amar Rava Kedei Lahazkir Midas Yoyim Belaila, in order to mention the characteristic of day, even when it's night. Meaning that during the Tefillah Shel Arvis, we want to mention not only darkness, not only evening, we also want to include the midah, the characteristic of Yom. We want to mention, we want to make a reference to Yom as well. And similarly, in the morning, we want to mention both aspects. Midas Laila b'Yom, we want to mention the characteristic of night, even when it's morning. Now why is that? The Mefarshim explain, the heretics claim that there are two forces in the world. As the pasuk says, Yoytzer Oyer, one who formed light, Uberi Choshech, he created darkness. This implies, perhaps, that there are two separate forces in the world. One is creating light, one is creating darkness. We're coming to refute this opinion by including, by making mention of night even during the day, and mentioning day even during the night, which implies that one creator exists who created all things and controls all aspects of the Bria, of the creation. Yoim and Laila as well. There are no two separate forces in the world. It says the Gemara, Bishloima, we understand Midas Laila b'Yoim Kedam Rinan. The reason why we say Yoytzer Oyer b'Choshech is in order to make mention of Choshech, to mention the aspect of Laila of night during the Tefillah of Shel Shachris. That's why we chose Choshech over Noiga, in order to make a direct reference to Choshech and to include it with Yoim during the Tefillah of Shel Shachris. Ella, where do we find the other aspect? Midas Yoim Bilayla, Hechem Ishkachasla. Where do we find mention of Yoim during the Tefillah of Arvis? Says the Gemara, Abaye, Goyle Lor Pnei Choshech, V'Choshech Pnei Or. During the Birchas Marav Aravim, the bracha preceding Krishma Shel Arvis, we use the term Goyle Lor Pnei Choshech. Hashem removes light in order to bring darkness, removes darkness in the morning in order to bring light, so we make a direct reference to light, which denotes day, even during the Tefillah Shel Arvis. Continues the Gemara. V'idach mai. Fine, so we know the first bracha, first blessing before Krishna Shel Shachris is Yoytzer Oyer B'Choshech, as we explained. What about the second bracha? How does it begin? What is it called? Amar V'idah Amar Shmuel Ava Rava. Hashem has an abundance of love towards us. V'chein Oyer Li Reb Lezer Abadas Brei. Reb Lezer Abadas taught his son. Rabbi Elazar taught his son Rabbi Das, Ava Rabba, an abundance of love. Tanya Mehochi, we learned in the Braisa, Ein Oimrim Avas Oilam. We do not say eternal love, Avas Oilam, but rather Ava Rabba, an abundance of love. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan's opinion, however, is Avas Oilam, that the right term is to say Avas Oilam, eternal love. V'cheinu Oimer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'avas Oilam Ahavtich, I've loved you in eternal love, Alkei Meshach Tevchaseh, therefore I've drawn kindness upon you. So in conclusion, we have two brachis preceding Krishna Shel Shacharis. One is Yetzirah Rebbe Yechoshech. The reason why we mention light and darkness in order to combine both aspects of day and night, in order to show and to underline the fact that everything emanates from one power, from Hashem, who controls all aspects of the world. The second bracha is Avas Olam, as the Chachamim conclude here. And Tosfos mentioned that, being that there are different shitas, different opinions, whether it's Ava Rabba or Avas Olam, therefore we do both, and by day we say Ava Rabba, this is Nusach Ashkenaz, and at night by Ma'ariv we say Avas Olam. Continues the Gemara, Omar Bida Mashmol, Hishkim Lishnais, if one gets up to learn Torah, Achalei Kara Krishma, prior to reciting Krishma and the brachas that precede Krishma, Tzarech Levarach, so he must recite bracha, Birchas HaTorah, prior to learning. However, if it is already past his recital of Krishma, Mishikara Krishma, Ein Tzarech Levarach, there's no need to say Birchas HaTorah. Why? Shekvar Niftar V'Hava Rabba, he is already exempt on account of reciting the bracha V'Hava Rabba, which includes a prayer for Hashem to help us be zeicha, to merit learning Torah, teaching Torah, and all the lashonos that we find, all the terms find in Ava Araba, b'seim b'libeinu lulmoid, olalamoid, lishmar v'lasois, es kol divrei talmud Torah secha. So this is like a birchas haTorah, and therefore once you have already recited the bracha of Ava Araba prior to Krishma, you're exempt from birchas haTorah. Omar Rav Huna, regarding birchas haTorah, it is limited. There is only a chiyuv of Birchas HaTorah when one actually learns scripture, Mikra, Torah, Limikut Tzorach LeFarish. That is the oral law, that is the main Torah, and therefore that requires Birchas HaTorah. However, LeMidrash, regarding the Braisa, Safra, Safri, which expound on the Psukim, Ein Tzorach LeFarish, there's no obligation of Birchas HaTorah. For Rav Lezer Omar? No, LeMikra uLeMidrash Tzorach LeFarish. Since Midrash is directly connected to the Psukim and the Torah, that the Drash is associated with Torah Shebichsav, they too require a Birchas HaTorah. However, the Mishnayis, which is oral Torah, and Tzorach LeBaruch, they do not obligate one to recite Birchas HaTorah. For Rabbi Yechonam, no, after the Mishnah, Namri Tzorach LeBaruch, even when one learns Mishnayis, he is required to say Birchas HaTorah. Since it is the body of the oral law, it has the all the halachas of the Torah concisely and clearly delineated in all the Mishnayis and are the basis of our Torah Shebapeh. Aval Talmud, but however, Gemara, which is explaining the rationale, the reasons behind the Mishnah, that is secondary of Ein Tzorach LeVarach, they do not require Birchas HaTorah to learn Talmud. V'Rava Ma'af LeTalmud Tzorach LeVarach, even when one learns Gemara, he is required to say Birchas HaTorah, and as Rashi explains, Gemara is essential to Torah Shebaal Peh, since without Gemara, we can't apply the halachas that are contained in the body of law and the Mishnah, and the Gemara expounds and elucidates, explains to us everything that is included in the Mishnayos, and therefore it is truly essential and is a core of Torah and requires Birchas HaTorah. And of course in Halacha, that's the way we follow, that for any aspect of Torah, we are required to say Birchas HaTorah. How do we prove that even Talmud requires Birchas HaTorah? Dom Rav Chibar Ashi, Zivin Saginin, many times Ava Kimna Kamei Rav, I was standing in front of Rav, Lesnuye Pirkin, B'Sifra Debe Rav, he came to teach us, I came to listen to his teaching in the Safra B'dei Rav, which was Gemara, and have a makdim kamashi yadi, he would arise, wash his hands, ubarach, and say Birchas HaTorah, maslam pirkin, and teach us the Gemara. Evidently, even the Gemara requires Birchas HaTorah. Continues the Gemara, my mevarach, what exactly is Birchas HaTorah? Omer Avidam HaShmuel, Aksher Kichano B'mitzoyis, Tzivon Olas V'Yerasera, Hashem sanctified us and commanded us to involve ourselves in the involvement of Torah. Rabbi Yechonam Sain Bahochi Rechon says there was a conclusion of a bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Echasima, which goes as follows. Ha Rebna Hashem Aleikeinu, Hashem sweeten as Divir Yisrael Befino, the words of your Torah in our mouths, with Vivius Amcha Beis Yisrael in the mouths of Kal Yisrael. V'niya Anachon V'tzeteinu, us and our grandchildren and descendants should be, V'tzeitei Amcha Beis Yisrael and the descendants of all Yisrael should be, all of us, Yehidi Shemecha, should love you, and should be involved New Torah, and the conclusion is Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamlamei Torah, Lamei Yisrael. So that is the second aspect of Birchas HaTorah, of Rav Nuna Omar. There's actually another one. Asher Bachar Bono Mikol Ha'amim V'Noslan Torah. Hashem chose us from amongst the nations. He granted us His Torah. Baruch Atah Hashem, Neisna Torah. So we thank Hashem for choosing us and electing to give us His Torah. Omar Rav Nuna Zu, this third one of Asher Bachar Bono is Mu'ula Sheva Brachas. It is the best of all the brachas, and as the Mefarshim say, therefore was chosen to be the bracha during an Aliyah LaTorah, one is called up for the Torah in public. Continues the Gemara Hilchach, being that we have three different shitas, what is considered Birchas HaTorah? Lebinu Lekulu, we should indeed recite all three of them as we do today. We begin with Asher Gitchonim Mitzvah Yisavon Allah Sigli V'Sorah, we continue with V'Harevna, conclude with Asher Baruch HaBonu Mikol Ha'amir V'Nosan L'Sarazes. In conclusion, Birchas HaTorah consists of three separate aspects. The Mashal says it's referring to the three aspects of Torah. It's good, it's sweet, and it's very beneficial in the long term. The first bracha of Asher Kitchonu Mitzvos is on a last of the Yisrael is on account of its goodness. We're thankful Hashem gave us a good present. V'harevna denotes its sweetness. It is a sweet experience. One is involved in Torah, connecting to Hashem in the highest form, the highest level of sweetness. The third thing, Asher Baruch HaBonu, Hashem chose us and granted us eternal life. That is Asher Baruch HaBonu Mikol Ha'amim V'Nosan Lanu Es Torasai. And according to the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, regardless of which part of Torah, whether it's Mikra, Mishnah, Midrash, or Gemara, a person is required to recite Birchas HaTorah. And it's interesting that our practice is when we say Birchas HaTorah, we include Psukim of Yivarechacha, then we go ahead to the Mishnah of Eilu Dvarim Shein L'Mashir, and in that Mishnah it extends into the Braisa of Eilu Dvarim Shein L'Mashir. And perhaps this is sending a message that all three aspects of Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, and the rest of Torah Shabbat, are all equally important to Kal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Tznan Hassan. We've learned in the Mishnah regarding the description of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Amalem HaMumuna, the one in charge, instructed the group of Kahanim as follows. Beruchu Brocha Achas, go make one blessing. The Gemara soon will explain what exactly was this Brocha Achas. Vehim Beruchu, and indeed they made the Brocha. Vekora Aseres HaDibrois, they recited the Aseres HaDibrois, then Shema, and Vayim Shemaya, and Vayomer, all the different portions of Krishma, Ubirchu Sa'am Gilu Brachais, and they blessed together with the public the three brachas of Emes V'Yatziv, which follows Krishma, V'Avoida. This is a bracha, a tefillah to Hashem to accept the Avoida V'Beis HaMikdash and the tefillah, Ubirchas Kehanim, and they recited the psukim of Birchas Kehanim. Ubishabas, Mesiv Bracha Achas, they would add one more blessing, Lumishmar Yoitzu, which was directed at the group of Kehanim, which had concluded their line of duty, they were on the way out, and they received a bracha from the incoming Mishmar. Says the Gemara, what exactly is the Brocha Achas referenced in the beginning of this Mishmar by Brocha Achas? Says the Gemara, we will learn the meaning of the Brocha Achas from the following incident. Gihodar of Amma, Rabbi Yisir bar Ava, Iklal, Asra, they came to visit this town. Bo Minayu, they were asked the following question, my Brocha Achas, what is Brocha Achas referring to? Lohavabi Yadayu, they didn't know. Also, Shailu Rav Masna, they asked Rav Masna, Lohavabi Yadayu, he didn't even know. Also, Shailu Rav Yehuda, they went to ask Rav Yehuda, and he said, I know the answer. Omar Lahua, he said to them, Hachi Amar Shmuel, this is how Shmuel interpreted the Mishnah, Bracha Achas is Ava, Rava. That is the Bracha preceding Krishma of Ava, Rava. V'Amar Rav Zrika, Mar V'Amar Shmuel Lakish, Yetzirar. He disagrees, he holds that the Bracha Achas is actually Bracha of Yetzirar, which is the first Bracha of the Brichas Krishma. So, Machlaik is what exactly is Bracha Achas? Is it Ava, Rava, or is it Yetzirar? Continues the Gemara. Ki also Rav Yisrael Yosef. Rav Yisrael Yosef came and he said the following. Omar, Had Rav Zrika, this statement of Rav Zrika that interprets the Mishnah of Bracha Achas in reference to Brichas Yetzirar, La Veferish Yitma, this wasn't said explicitly. Elam Chol Yitmar is our inference. It was an implication from something else that he said, which implied to us the meaning of Bracha Achas. Let's see. The Omar of Zrika, Omar of Ami, Omar Shimon Lakish. He said as follows. This Mishnah, which relates that the Kehanim merely said one bracha, teaches us a very important lesson regarding Birchas Krishma. It teaches us that even if one only recites one of the brachas, he omits the rest, he has still fulfilled his obligation regarding that bracha. It's not a package deal. One bracha doesn't depend on the other. They're not essential to each other. From the fact that we see that the Kehanim only made one bracha. So it's a meris, we learn from here. A bracha is ein ma'ak v'zuzu. Brachas are not essential to each other. So that was the statement of Rav Zika. He didn't say more than that. But from this statement, we inferred as to the meaning of the word bracha achas. Why is that? Because if bracha achas is referring to Yetzer Er, and they omitted Avarabba, they chose to say only Yetzer Er, why didn't they say Avarabba as well? Apparently, they were out of time, they were pressed for time, and they need to be brief, and they only chose Yetzer Er and neglected to say Avarabba. So apparently, brachas are not ma'ak v'zu'azu, they could be Yetzer, one bracha without the other. Again, so it's a meres brachas a ma'ak v'zu'azu, i'armes b'shloima. This raya, this proof is good if Yetzer Er have amru, if it was Yetzer Er that they chose to say. And the fact that they omitted Avarabba proves to us that Yetzer Er is standalone without Avarabba. I know the bracha is a ma'ak v'zu'azu, the loika ami Avarabba. And the fact, on account that didn't say Avarabba, that shows to us that Yetzer Er is not dependent on Avarabba. Ella, buddy, Amru is Avarabba v'Amri. If the bracha achas is referring to the bracha of Avarabba, that won't prove to us anything regarding the halacha of bracha yitzei ma'akav zirazu. Perhaps, you know why they omitted Yetzer Er? Because morning has not arrived yet. It was still too early to say Yetzer Er. As soon as daylight will arrive, they will indeed recite Yetzer Er and complete the brachas krishma. So you have no right from there, you have no indication whatsoever regarding the halacha of bracha yitzei ma'akav zirazu. Perhaps, it's a package deal. One needs to recite all the brachas to fulfill his obligation. And they will indeed complete their fulfillment of the brachas krishma by reciting Yetzer Er when the appropriate time arrives. Again inside, Elei Amrus Avarabba Ava Amri. If it was Avarabba that they said, and when the Mishnah says, Berech Bracha Achas, referring to Avarabba, my bracha is Eimach V'zu'azu, how can you infer from there that brachas are not essential to each other? Dilma, perhaps, Haidelei Amri Yetzer Er, Mishnah Dilei Matas Man Yetzer Er. Since the day has not arrived yet, and the appropriate time for Yetzer Er has not come, therefore they're waiting, they're simply waiting for the right time, and of course they will complete their Brachas Krishma upon the arrival of daylight. V'chi matas man Yetzer Er, when the time for Yetzer Er will come, havi amri, they will say it. So this is what we implied from the statement of Rav Zika. Again, Rav Zika was referring to the Mishnah, where the Gehanim merely said one bracha. We see from here, bracha is a ma'ak v'zu'azu. One bracha is not dependent on the other from the fact that we see they only said one without the other. Says the Gemara, this is a raya. This proves to us that what is the interpretation of bracha achas is referring to Yetzer Er. And since we see they only said Yetzer Er and omitted Avarabba, which they could have said it even when it was dark. Nevertheless, they neglected to say it. They omitted it. Apparently, they weren't planning on saying it for lack of time or whatever reason. And we see that one bracha does not need the other in order for one to fulfill his obligation. However, if bracha bracha achas would have been referring to Avarabba, the raya, the proof, would not have been a proof. Because perhaps they were planning on concluding their brachas krishma when the time arrives. So again, apparently Rav Zvika is of the opinion that bracha bracha achas is Yetzer Er. But this was not explicitly stated. It is simply it's implied by a different statement that he made. Says the Gemara, what's the difference if it's implied, if it's explicit? Is there any uncertainty in this implication? Could you refute this implication? If it was merely implied, what's the difference? It seems to be pretty clear that that is his interpretation of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, perhaps no, bracha achas is referring to Avarabba. Certainly, they began with Avarabba, that was bracha achas, and as you suggested, as soon as daylight arrived, certainly they completed and they added the bracha of Yetzer Er. If so, how do we see from there regarding bracha yitzei ma'ak v'zu'azu, that brachas aren't essential to each other? We're speaking about completing all the brachas. Says the Gemara, you had a false interpretation of the words bracha yitzei ma'ak v'zu'azu. It wasn't referring to any halacha of reciting one and omitting the other. Umay bracha is a ma'ak v'zu'azu. Say the brachas. He was merely saying that the order, the proper order of the brachas, are not ma'akev. They do not prevent one from fulfillment of his obligation. Even if one reverses the proper order, he is still yaitzi, he still fulfilled his obligation, as we see by the Kehanim. Even though they began in the reverse, they began with Avarabba, since it was still dark, they didn't want to say Yetzer Er. They began with Avarabba, and then later on completed Yetzer Er. Certainly they've recited all the brachas of krishma, but it was in reverse order. So evidently we see from there that they say the brachas, the order is not mi'akev, is not required for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So your implication is kind of uncertain. There's no real raya from here. You want to prove from here that according to Rav Zrika, who proves from the Mishnah, that bracha yitzayim akiv zazu, evidently it was the brichas yetzirah that they recited. And the omitted avarava, no. Perhaps it was the brichas avarava that they recited, and they would eventually complete the brachas by reciting yetzirah in its proper time. What was the inference from here? What was the raya from here regarding the halacha of brachas yitzayim akiv zazu? It was simply regarding the seder brachas, the order of the brachas, that we see from this Mishnah, that the order is not ma'akav of sins. They reversed it, they began with Avarabo and concluded with Yetzir. So in conclusion, we have a machlekes. What is the term Brecha Bracha Achas? Was it referring to Avarabo according to Shmuel and according to Reb Zrika? According to one approach in the Gemara, we see from Reb Zrika that the Brecha Bracha Achas is referring to Yetzir and not Avarabo.